Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Brian Butler and Adam Fuselier. We'll watch a video about Echo Community and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight our guests are Brian Butler and Adam Fuselier. They are from the Echo community. This is the second show we're doing with Brian. Now Adam is the managing director, so we're going to talk more about what they do in reaching out to young people with the theology of the body and about chastity tonight. We have a litany of chastity that Adam developed. We're going to talk about that. We're now going to see a video from the Echo community. Brian Butler and Adam Fuselier, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
It's great to be here.
And we had Brian on last week. He's the executive director of Echo Community. Adam, you are the managing director, and you all are popularizing, putting out there, giving retreats on the theology of the body. Why do you think that's so effective with young adults?
Well, maybe I'll actually illustrate that with a story. So when I first began working with Echo, we're teaching theology of the body to teens. And so that was one of my main roles. And I began one particular session, it was actually an introductory session where I was sort of giving the helicopter view of what is John Paul teaching. Mm-hmm. And there was one particular teenager who was happened to be in that particular course, that class. And I'll never forget, it was towards the end of the session, and his face was red, and there were tears streaming down his face. Mm. And after we kind of wrapped up, I pulled him aside and I asked him if everything was okay. He dropped his book and he said, "Why has no one ever told me this before? Like, I wish that someone had told me this before." And I think what he was doing is he was highlighting that theology of the body was giving him answers to some of his deepest questions. Right. What does it mean to be human? It's not hard to look out there and see a lot of chaos, right? We see chaos in our world. We see chaos and confusion around sexuality, identity. These are all deep questions that our culture is carrying. But oftentimes it's not only what's happening out there, but sometimes that chaos is right here in my heart,
right,
in your heart, in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And I think what John Paul II is doing through the theology of the body is he's giving us a roadmap, mm-hmm, actually, to how to navigate these deeper questions by pointing us to the truth of our identity, because it's only once we understand that, mm-hmm, do we understand how we're called to live.
Right.
And I think that's why it's been so effective and resonating with so many people.
Yeah, I think, John Paul did that so well, too, in general, just putting it out there. This is the path to a flourishing life. This is a blessing. You know, and you know, some today emphasize like a big invitation, but I think too, you have to put there this model of, hey, this living this way is a flourishing way. Mm-hmm. This is where we flourish our human nature. And it entails a repentance, a turning from sin, you know, and embracing this. And I love John Paul II's confidence in the truth of that, you know, and put it out there. Because I just hear that all the time. People are called, today they're desperate for truth. And you see that the numbers of people entering the church, a lot of young people are mentioning truth and tradition, something solid, right? And John Paul put it out there pretty good. But you also have developed a litany of chastity that's been translated in 6 languages.
And, that's right.
Is chastity an issue today?
I believe that it is, Father. I believe that it is.
What are you trying to tell us?
this was actually an inspiration during the COVID pandemic, when a lot of apostolates, including our own, were wondering what we were called to do when we weren't actually doing in-person ministry anymore. Our ministry is very based in relationships. Mm-hmm. Everything's based in relationships. So having that stripped away from us, we were sort of left with the question of, God, what do you want us to do in this season? What are mm-hmm. we called to do? And as we were sitting with that question, the Lord just kind of planted it in my heart, write a litany of chastity. But I didn't really know what that meant. Mm-hmm. So I started to go actually in prayer through my own story mm-hmm. and my own experience of wrestling with some deep questions, wrestling with chastity. And I think this is the fruit of that prayer. It's really just a deep dive into my own personal prayer.
Right.
But I think it resonates with a lot of people because it's universal. Mm-hmm. It's an experience that we all carry to some degree. And since then, it's been translated into 6 different languages, and it's making its way around the world. And mm-hmm. it's just been a great gift for us to see in our ministry, people actually opening up the place of their sexuality to Christ in prayer, not closing it off, not saying this is not safe or mm-hmm. good or a good thing to bring to Jesus, mm-hmm. But actually like really cracking open the heart and saying, Jesus, I want you to meet me here in this tender place. Yeah. And I think that's been the gift.
Yeah. And to me, now I'm thinking about it, was the readings today we had a mass about how in 2 Colossians, he speaks of himself, Paul speaks of Jesus as being the fullness mm-hmm. that we're all invited to share in, that this chaste life, this pure heart is embracing Christ, and that's how we get a pure heart, the Holy Spirit in Christ, and it's a fullness. It's not just a no, it's not just some kind of diminishment of our sexuality or humanity, but it's a new fullness, a new peace. And let me mention this too, because I was asking you about young adults you see today, and this bears out in data, but a lot are struggling with anxiety. In fact, what used to be a bell curve, like, you know, childhood, teenage years, it would increase into adulthood anxiety because you're having responsibilities to children and all this, and then as you get older, it diminishes. But now we're seeing children or young people are high in anxiety. Why do you think that is, and what's an answer? If you could fix it for us right now, that'd be
great. I wish I could. I can share a little bit of perhaps my own experience of just what we've seen in our ministry. And I think you're right. We have seen an increase, particularly with teens, young adults who are even walking into some of our retreats and experiencing levels that we haven't seen before mm-hmm. in terms of anxiety. And it can be coming from a number of different places. We're not, you know, mental health professionals. Yeah. But I think one common element is the experience of insecurity. Mm. When I don't know who I am, that there is someone that holds me in existence, that loves me, and that I'm safe, and that I'm good, it can wreak all kinds of havoc in our hearts. So again, I think it most often will go back to that identity question mm-hmm. of who is God? Is he good, right? Is he who he says he is? Mm-hmm. And then what does that mean about me? Does he mm-hmm. see me? Does he know me? Is he here? And that could really only be healed in and through relationship.
Yeah. And ultimately, with Jesus, yeah. You know,
well,
say
I think
something?
There's so much to that we could talk for another hour on this for sure. But we're not meant to stare at screens all day.
Right.
We're meant to be able to gaze into the eyes of the one who loves mm-hmm. us, and that's meant to happen not only through Jesus Christ, but actually in and through the men and women that he made and that he's now invited into his image. And we've seen, I think, especially since the pandemic, with the spike of screen use being ever higher, people in general are less comfortable looking at one another in the eyes. And so that isolation of just doom scrolling and staying with my eyes down is helping or causing people to maybe be a little more internal, and coming out of that shell to be whoever God made them to be feels very risky. And so there's a gift of being able to welcome people in an environment that says, hey, I'm happy that you exist. I'm glad that you're here.
And I think the comparison with others, like social media, especially with our young girls, you know, just comparing themselves with others.
Absolutely.
That could be so unsettling. But let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk about more about the litany and some of the petitions here. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Life on the Rock, and we're talking about the Litany of Chastity. It's a free resource. If you go to echocommunity.us, you can find out how to get it, or also litanyofchastityoneword.com.
That's correct.
Yeah, you can get a free copy of this. And there's some petitions in here, I think, that are really powerful that struck me. And one, from the lie that I am not wanted, deliver me, Jesus. That is at the core. We want someone to want us. It's so comforting to think God is awaiting us in heaven, and He wants us now. He wants us. And we talked about Isaiah 43. You know, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And that says so much that Jesus has got us. He's redeemed us, and we belong to Him. Our identity is not from the world. We don't belong to Satan. We belong to Him.
And that. Amen.
Preach about that for us.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it the deepest desire of the human heart? Like you said, it is to be wanted. And the reality is we are made for a relationship. I remember years ago, I was actually on my own personal silent retreat. And, you know, I had been swimming in these waters for a long time. And the Lord brought me back to this memory. And I won't go through all the details, but the Lord in my holy hour brought me back to a memory that was rooted in this lie that I was alone and that I wasn't desired, that I wasn't wanted. And this was a real memory that had happened years ago when I was a child. And as I was sitting with that memory, I just remember the Lord very clearly saying to me, Adam, you're not alone. You've actually never been an I. You've always been a we. You've always been a we. You've always existed in relationship with me. There's never one moment that I haven't been with you and that I haven't desired you and that I haven't willed you into existence. And so for me, even having swam in these waters for such a long time, it was a paradigm shift, and those lies run very deep. And it does require, and the Lord beckons us to constantly open some of the places in our hearts where we carry those lies.
Yeah, I think it's a good practice. Yeah, read Isaiah 43, verse 1, and bring that to prayer. Imagine Jesus being with you in that aloneness, to let Him heal that. And you talk about, too, it just reminds me of the theology of the body, that image of God which we're made. You know, on an individual level, yes, we have an intellect and will, but also on a communal level, right? John Paul, drawing from the Fathers, right, talks about the couple images, the Trinity, and the communion of persons there. So, yeah, we're not made to be alone.
That's right.
And practically speaking, someone struggling, say, with pornography, what does that look like, that not to be alone with that?
Yeah, I would say one of the gifts of being in this ministry for a while is having the gift of walking with a lot of men out of pornography addiction and addictions to masturbation, because oftentimes they're tied together. And in my experience, there is often the most freedom by just taking the first step, which is letting somebody else into it. actually letting somebody else into the struggle to walk alongside you. Mm-hmm. And I have found that a lot of men, and probably women, I would imagine as well, because it's not just a male issue, mm-hmm. Are oftentimes reluctant and fearful to take the first step. So oftentimes when I'm talking to men, I'll be like, don't worry about the 10 other things maybe that are coming down the road. Mm-hmm. But are you willing to take the first step and actually have a conversation with someone who right. can help you
right.
and who can guide you? And if they're willing to take that first step, they've already moved forward in the process towards freedom.
Yeah. And with Prudence, you know, maybe a mentor or a good friend right. that you can share the struggle with. And I remember one time interviewing I consider him an expert. He was a priest on all these different aspects of chastity. And I said, well, tell us, you know, how do you get off pornography? And he says, do something. And I thought that was a brilliant answer. You know, take some action and see where God leads you. You know, it might be getting some counseling help, you know, fellow, you know, support groups, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, do something. This one petition too, from the lie that I have not been forgiven by you, deliver me, Jesus. And mm-hmm. as a confessor, I hear that sometimes people have trouble. Can God really forgive this? The world mm-hmm. doesn't forgive me for maybe something I've done. Does God forgive me? Mm-hmm. Brian, maybe take a stab at this one.
Well, it's such a powerful thing to know that you are loved at mm-hmm. your worst. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who likes to say, like, you don't know that you're really loved until you've been loved at your worst. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you keep thinking, maybe they like me because I did something good, and right, it's a payment right. sort of right. contract back and forth.
Yeah.
And so I think that space of being able to be forgiven when I do not deserve it at all mm-hmm. is a very healing thing for us, and it allows us to, when we receive that mercy, to be able to give it to someone else.
Yeah.
John Paul II said that mercy is the content of intimacy. Mm. That's important for us to be able to know that, like, with the Lord, actually, when I can open myself to Him in my most wounded, most shameful place,
yeah.
is a space I can grow into the deepest place of communion with Him in a certain yeah. sense. And when I experience that myself, then I can start to pour that out onto others as well. And so mm-hmm. being able to be forgiven and then know that I'm forgiven mm. is an anchoring thing that helps me to stay stay true to who God made me to be, instead of starting to grasp after all the shiny things that yeah. I'm start to be tempted with.
Yeah. I know one woman told me in her conversion, she said she came to the belief that God loves sinners. Right, Romans 5. It's like, yeah, and our faith says that. You go to the confessional, you confess like a serious sin, you know it's forgiven, you know, in faith.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to accept that forgiveness. And yeah, there's probably an aspect of forgiving ourselves, but to me, it's once we accept that forgiveness from God, we could probably forgive ourselves.
And all of that is rooted in knowing that He is who He says He is, right? He's
yeah.
the only one that, He is the merciful Father who pursues us in that lowest place. And so, mm-hmm. Again, everything goes back to, we always go back to the basics. You gotta mm-hmm. always go back to the basics.
The fundamentals, yeah.
We can
yeah.
talk about sexual morality and all these things, but so much of it in that journey is just going back to the basics of the things that we already know
mm-hmm.
Deep
right.
and allowing those to come back forward and yeah. holding on to them sometimes for dear life.
We just have a couple minutes left. Can you say something about authentic masculinity?
Yeah, I would love to. That is part of our mission statement, cultivating authentic masculinity yeah. and femininity. I think that's so important. What does it mean to be authentic? It means to be real. It mm-hmm. means to be myself.
Right.
It means to do that in a way that I actually receive first. And so oftentimes when I talk about authentic masculinity, I have to recognize that I need to receive that first. I don't create it for myself. I actually receive it first. And so when I encourage men towards authentic masculinity or women towards authentic femininity, oftentimes I'll say, start with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Start with prayer. Again, back to basics.
Yeah.
Who is he?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that shed light on who I am?
Yeah.
And we can only discover that in that fundamental relationship. And relationship oftentimes brings about dynamism. It brings about, you start to discover the things about yourself that maybe you didn't know until you saw this person or you were in this person's gaze. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a process of discovery. Yeah. And it's an exciting process of discovery.
Yeah. And so like men, you know, we often need to be reminded about that laying down our lives for another. Mm-hmm. There's no greater love, Jesus tells us, you know, to love like he does. Mm-hmm. And so to do that service, it's like when a man does service and things, he just seems to come to himself in a deeper way. Well, Adam and Brian, thank you so much
for
joining us.
Thank you for having us.
A lot more to say, but
thank you, Father Mark.
We'll have to do a podcast sometime.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed my conversation with Brian and Adam. They're doing such good work, and the material is just so vital. And I love that story they told about the resonance they see in the young people, how it speaks to them. It speaks to some of their deepest questions about the purpose, the meaning of life, how to live a chaste life, how to live a fulfilling life. And we find that through the love of Christ, receiving that love, receiving his forgiveness, having a pure heart, we can love others. That light that shines out from the church is a reflected light. It comes from Christ. So these retreats, right, they're trying to connect people, these young people, with God in their spiritual lives. And today, you know, chastity can be such a difficult point for so many people. And this, we talked about the litany of chastity, and pornography is a real scourge. Lust is drenched throughout our media culture. And this litany that Adam developed can be a powerful prayer tool to obtain chastity, to have that gift of chastity. And we went through some of the aspects of it that are so beautiful. One here, he says, from any resentment toward my own body, deliver me, Jesus. You know, from any lack of acceptance we have of ourselves, you know, that could be the core of giving a pure gift of ourselves to others, not to see others as an object. You know, these are key things. He also talks about praying this litany for other people. That can help us in our own walk with chastity. You know, we ask God to help us, to give us a pure heart, and then to pray for others in their struggle, maybe in the midst of our own temptations. That's a powerful way out of the temptation. I'm starting thinking about another. I'm involving God's grace. I'm doing something good for them. It gets me out of myself. You know, impurity focuses us on ourselves. So we'll send you into that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May he give you the gift of purity of heart. And may God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. Yeah.